Our next case is 2020-0700, the State of Ohio versus PJF for the appellant, Mr. Miller.
Good morning. May it please the court, Chief Justice O'Connor. My name is Mark Miller. I represent the appellant, PJF, in this case. I please request 3 minutes for rebuttal. There is just one assignment of error proposition of law for this court's review involving a felony non-support or child support case dealing with sealing of a record. Here we believe the appellant PJF was eligible and became eligible because he was finally discharged from his conviction when the trial court discharged him early from his community control and the statutory waiting period elapsed. Just a couple key facts in this case. This is an F5 felony of the fifth degree. The case went to trial, jury trial convicted the appellant. At sentencing, and this is critical, at sentencing, the trial court placed the appellant on 5 years of community control. At sentencing, the judge specifically stated on the record that she was ordering that the appellant pay all of his past due outstanding child support arrears as a condition of his community control in the amount of approximately $8,800. The trial court also incorporated its sentence into a final sentencing entry detailing the conditions of the appellant's community control. A couple years passed. There were a couple probation violations in this case, Your Honors. We recognize that. The trial court did order the appellant to serve some days in jail for failing to pay child support. However, after 2 years, the trial court decided to terminate or discharge him from community control unsuccessfully. That order, by the way, is in the record where the trial court specifically finds that she is discharging, and that's the word she uses, discharged from community control. The state never appealed that order. Years passed, past the statutory waiting period for a sealing of the record. We filed for sealing. We had a sealing of the record hearing where we made arguments. And the trial court judge, we believe, appropriately found that the appellant was eligible for sealing and that his interests were certainly not outweighed by any governmental interest. The 10th District was primarily relying on this court's decision in Aguirre. That case dealt with restitution primarily. When we are dealing with here a much more specific scenario involving child support arrears, on page 8 of our brief, we cite to at least two cases which have specifically distinguished between a trial court ordering all outstanding arrearages as part of community control versus arrears contained within the indictment or the criminal conduct, which would be an unconditional part of the person's sentence under 2929.18. Unfortunately, there are little cases. We tried to search within the United States on this issue regarding child support specifically and sealing of the records. There are not too many cases out there. Unfortunately, the legislature has not defined final discharge for purposes of sealing. So we are left with primarily 2929.15 and 2929.18.
Mr. Miller, do you think that it was of consequence to the trial court that she was aware that that your client now had custody of the child?
Your Honor, I don't believe at that time, are you talking about the trial court, the sealing of the record hearing, Your Honor?
Correct.
I think that may have been part of it, but primarily I think the major part of it here was my client, PJF, was a victim of a terrible crime. He was shot multiple times. The shooter went to prison for 11 years. He had 32 surgeries. His reason for filing for the sealing of the record in this case, in this specific case, was to apply for victims of crime under the Ohio Attorney General program. You cannot apply for victims of crime if you have any felony on your record within the past 10 years, even a child support conviction. So I think the trial court weighed all those interests. The state presented no governmental interest in having the record maintained, other than they objected on the fact that he had failed to pay his so-called court-ordered restitution. But yes, my client did get custody about a year after the hearing. The child is now emancipated. She's 21. She lives with my client. So all those were factors to consider.
Mr. Miller, one last question. So there's a fine distinction between satisfaction of the requirements of a sentence constituting a final discharge and release from the requirements of the sentence as constituting a final discharge. I think what you are going to be asking us to do is to look at Aguirre and say that both of those constitute a final discharge. Am I correct?
Well, we are asking the court to distinguish Aguirre because the appellant, this is strictly a 29-29.15 case where the trial court bundled together everything, including his outstanding arrears, as part of his community control. Whereas Aguirre really was a restitution case under 29-29.18. So we're not asking the court to necessarily overrule Aguirre, it certainly could, but we're asking the court, given the facts and circumstances of this case and a child support case, to distinguish it.
Right.
Counsel, there was... Go ahead.
But my point is that he technically hasn't satisfied all the conditions of probation, but the court essentially changed its mind and said, I'm releasing you and you have no further obligations.
I understand, Your Honor. Yes, our argument is when he was discharged from his community control, given that the arrears were ordered as part of his community control, it's off the books. It doesn't mean the child support's off the books. The Child Support Enforcement Agency can still collect child support that happens every day. The obligee, the mother, can file a motion for contempt. Our argument, he was discharged when he was released from community control. Now, if this was strictly a restitution case, however, if a trial court orders restitution, that contains no time limits. Community control is up for 5 years under 0.15. Under 0.18, there are no time restrictions for restitution unless the court modifies the amount.
Thank you.
So the authority is 29-29.15. We also make a public policy argument, of course. Again, my client's interest was applying for victims of crime, but given this is a child support case, we believe a reasonable argument can be made. If you're trying to pay child support with a felony on your record, it may, not always, but may prevent someone from gaining employment or housing in those situations. So the public policy argument there is, but also—
Counselor, you can say that about any felony conviction and some misdemeanor convictions.
That's very true, absolutely. And the whole point here is trying to give people second chances, and the ceiling statutes, there's some case law that says the ceiling statutes really should be read in a liberal way to effectuate the purpose of giving people second chances.
And maybe if he had done something to alleviate the debt that he, you know, which was ongoing, right?
$8,800, yes, Ron.
I mean, but it was throughout his period of community control, he did not pay the arrearages, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor, yes.
Okay, and so for whatever reason, the judge stops community control, but she never said, you don't have to pay those arrearages that I ordered.
No, she did not say that. She said he was discharged from community control. And you're right, that does not mean he does not still have to pay. I mean, in domestic court, that order was still in effect for him to pay.
In fact, it was mounting, was it not? Were there additional, fees and obligations mounting?
There probably were. That's not in the record. What's in the record is the $8,800 approximately in arrears. And you're right, you know, unfortunately, and he testified in his own defense about why he wasn't paying, and he was fearful that the money wasn't going to the right people and to the child. But whether it's successful completion of probation or unsuccessful under the statute, our argument is, Your Honor, when he was discharged from community control, he was discharged. And after the 3 years passed, he was eligible to have that record sealed.
Counsel, isn't the distinguishing factor between restitution and this obligation is restitution arises out of the crime that for which the person was placed on community control. If someone steals something and it was not recovered, they have to pay the value of that. This obligation existed whether they were on community control or not outside of the case, right?
That is correct. And when he was discharged from probation, again, that did not necessarily discharge him from his arrears in domestic court.
Right. Okay. So has the state ever articulated in any of its briefings what the government interest is in maintaining this conviction on the books in this particular case?
Absolutely not, because there is no interest, because there simply is no governmental interest. This is my client's only felony on his record. The child's emancipated. He took custody of the child. Child testified at the trial. Their only objection, Your Honor, was he didn't pay the court-ordered restitution. So no, to answer your question, they have not articulated that.
Mr. Miller, one last question. I compare this case with the 10th District case of Ganey. You know, in a restitution case, the person who doesn't, because of a query, doesn't achieve a sealing of the records is able to go back and pay that restitution and then come back and apply again. In this case, we could say, yes, he could go back and pay his child support and then come back again. But if we continue in this vein, what happens where an offender would be released from community control as unsuccessful because of something that's unalterable, like a failure to report out-of-state travel or a dirty drug test? There is no way to go back and to alter those circumstances. What do we do?
Right. And this becomes a problem because, again, the legislature has not defined final discharge specifically. But Ganey, I believe, was a case involving community service. Right. And, you know, community service cases have not reached this court yet, but they might, regarding sealings. But typically, community service would be part of someone's probation or community control. And if it's part of their community control, again, if they are discharged before 5 years or at 5 years, they become discharged, we believe, and it's off the books. Someone may have trouble completing their community service. We don't know. They may become disabled. We don't know. The prosecutor can always go to the court and have their community service modified, possibly. But those are issues that may need to be addressed at a future date, because here, our proposition of law is rather narrow. Dealing with child support cases.
What do we do with the language in Aguirre that says that final discharge means completion of all sentencing requirements? Do we have to modify that? Is that wrong? Is that incorrect?
I don't think the court has to modify it. There might have to be some clarification there. It depends whether or not the sentence, again, here arrears, the sentence is part of community control, or if the trial court judge really is imposing restitution. For example, in your case, Justice DeWine, you held an Allen, a bank, or banks were considered a victim for purposes of restitution under 2929.18. That's a 0.18 case where restitution, again, there are no time limits. So it really depends on whether or not the sentencing requirement is part of community control or an unconditional part of the sentence itself under 2929.18.
But counsel, are you saying that the restitution, or not, excuse me, the payment of the arrearages is not a sentencing requirement?
It is a sentencing requirement for purposes of 2929.15 in this case.
Okay. And had he been given 6 months in jail plus the payment of your arrearages, and he was then discharged from jail, all right, are you saying that his obligation to pay then is terminated?
If there are still outstanding child support arrearages as part of the person's community control and they have not paid, they are discharged from probation. Those arrears are still on the books separately in terms of either restitution, the Child Support Enforcement Agency, the obligee. They are still out there. But for purposes of sealing of his record, we believe a discharge from community control, in this case, regardless of whether or not his child support was paid, makes him eligible for sealing. That's all we're saying. The child support,
Counsel, you're making this distinction, which I understand, between arrearages that were owed anyway, right? Versus what was put into the final judgment to pay the 8857.80, right? Why can't both apply?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, why can't both apply?
Why does that number, you're saying because he owed it beforehand and he owes it now, that it shouldn't apply to this discharge issue, right? And I'm saying, why? Why can't it, because it was put in the final judgment, why can't it apply to the discharge issue as well as still be owed before and after?
Oh, I think it can be.
Here it was included in the judgment, right?
Yes, it was specifically, yes.
As part of the community control.
Specifically, yes.
Okay. So I'm just wondering why it can't be both?
Because under 2929.15, and it's child support case specifically, and about a dozen courts of appeals have held this, and I know those cases are not binding on this court, but if it's the total amount of arrearages, which it was in this case, in a child support case, it's viewed as a condition of community control. If the trial court judge orders him to pay just the arrears within the indictment or within the time frame of the criminal conduct, it's viewed as restitution under 2929.18, which can last. There are no time limits on that. And finally, for the record, I would note the appellant no longer owes child support. That was referenced in the 10th District opinion in this case. The parties agreed to deviate finally to zero. However, I'm not sure that really has an effect on this particular appeal. If there are no further questions.
One question as it relates to this case, and maybe I missed it in the record. Was this reduced to a lump sum judgment?
It was reduced to a lump sum judgment of zero.
No. At the time that the arrears were due and owing of the criminal case, at the time that it was part of community control that he has to pay on the arrears, had it already been reduced to a lump sum judgment?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe that was what the Child Support Enforcement Agency presented to the court as to how much he owed at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Walton.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor. May it please the court, good morning. Your Honors, initially, I want to address another matter before I get to the merits here this morning. And the state would submit that this matter should be dismissed as improvidently allowed, as there's been a material change in circumstances since this case was accepted. In fact, since briefing was completed in this case, this court held in State versus LaSalle that the version of the record sealing statute in effect at the time of application is what controls. And of course, the version in effect at the time of PJF's application required satisfaction of that 3-year waiting period. At the end of the session for the General Assembly, after briefing was completed in this case, they, through House Bill 1, amended the waiting period as it relates to certain felony offenses, F4s and F5s. So the waiting period now, as it had been 3 years, the waiting period as the law exists now is 1 year for felony four and felony fives. And this went into effect 2 weeks ago. So because PJF was convicted of the F5, this statute could apply to him. And there's no doubt now that he has achieved a final discharge from the state's point of view, based upon that satisfaction of the judgment in domestic relations court and the zeroing out of that balance. That was done in April of 2019, actually when the appeal was pending in the 10th district. But there's no doubt now that he easily satisfies that 1 year waiting period. And if he were to file an application even today, that application would be subjected to the new law in effect. He would have to satisfy the 1 year waiting period, which he has done at this point, since that was cleared in 2019. So based upon that change in circumstances, I would submit that the matter should be dismissed. But even if we get to the merits, the argument still fails.
Is the state saying it wouldn't object to him having his record sealed?
At this point, he certainly qualifies. That was the only ground that was raised by the state's objection previously, that he hadn't attained that final discharge and he hadn't satisfied that waiting period. Both of those conditions have been met at this point. And so I think these types of cases, you know, it wasn't long ago when non-support convictions in general couldn't be sealed based upon the existence of a minor victim. 2953.36 prohibited sealing records where you had a misdemeanor of the first degree or a felony offense and the victim was a minor. And so that essentially prohibited all non-support convictions from being sealed. Within the last 5 or 6 years, that's been amended. There's a specific carve out now for non-support cases. So, you know, the interest in maintaining the records of this particular conviction, I think, is very small from the state's point of view. And I think this is a situation where a trial court could easily find that the applicant's interest does outweigh any interest that the state could assert. But again, our only objection in this case was on statutory grounds, and we didn't assert that there was any other overriding interest of the state to maintain these records. So I was not the original prosecutor who reviewed this particular application, but everything that I've seen in this record shows me that, you know, certainly he is an eligible offender, doesn't have too many convictions. And this is something that, you know, quite honestly, we might sign off on. If there are no other statutory bars, it is something that we would sign off on and have in the past.
But this would still be subject to the trial court finding, doing the weighing of the interests and finding that he's been successfully rehabilitated, and the state choosing not to appeal if the trial court granted it, correct?
That is correct. That is correct, Justice Brunner. And, you know, the weighing of the interest, I think in reading the record, the applicant gives a pretty compelling interest, quite honestly, for wanting to have this record sealed. And it's not something that is, you know, that we would have a countervailing interest. Certainly the records of the domestic relations court are not going to be affected by any sealing records. So those records that there wasn't a rearage at some point will always exist. So I think that even further diminishes what the state interest might be if we're talking about
counsel,
policy. So
counsel, given your position that you just stated, I'm presuming because we're hearing this morning, you and Mr. Miller did not have a conversation about this.
We didn't have a conversation about this. However, the new law did not go into effect until 2 weeks ago. And it doesn't moot the overall argument, because the applicant's overall argument here is that Aguirre is distinguishable. I had contemplated filing a motion to dismiss, but again, it wouldn't have mooted his argument altogether. But the statutory grounds on which the state's objection would based no longer exist, assuming that the new law applies, which again, under State versus LaSalle, a new application would be filed, and that would subject the application to that new version of the law. The sealing of a record of a conviction is a privilege and not a right, and that's what this court has stated time and time again, and courts of appeals throughout Ohio.
What about the statute that says if you're an eligible offender and the court makes the two findings, the court shall grant the request to seal the record. How can we continue to say that it's a privilege when the statute says when these requirements are met, it shall seal the records?
Well, it continues to be a privilege because the General Assembly puts conditions in place. First, the applicant has to qualify as an eligible offender, as that term is defined. The specific case has to be eligible to be sealed, so there's no prohibition against sealing that particular conviction. And then after that, there's the weighing of the interest. The applicant has to show that their interest in sealing the record is at least equal to the state's interest in maintaining the record. And then, of course, if all of those conditions are met, then the application is granted. But, you know, if the General Assembly wanted to make this a right of some sort, they certainly would have the ability to do that. But up to this point, they have not. And as it relates to the final discharge language, I pointed out in the, or as pointed out in the state's brief, the language interpreting final discharge first occurred in 1983 and has been consistently applied both by this court and by other courts of appeal throughout
Ohio. Help me with how that works, because the language you rely on is that the final discharge doesn't occur until someone has completed all sentencing requirements. So that's easy if someone's in prison or jail. But if someone's on community control, they might be required to go to a drug test twice a week, and they may miss 10% of them. That person hasn't completed all their sentencing requirements, but I don't think you would say that they shouldn't be able to have their record sealed, would you?
Well, oftentimes we're relying on the record as it exists. So if the probation department hasn't filed a statement of violations and we're not aware.
Well, say the probation department had. Say there was a statement of violations. The judge had the probationer in, said, get your act together, continue to monitor community control. So that person has not completed all their sentencing requirements. There were things they were supposed to do that they didn't do. But would we really say that they're not eligible to have the record sealed?
Well, in my experience, when looking at a sentencing entry, oftentimes it's going to be, sometimes there are specific terms where no positive drug screens. That's, you know, written into the sentencing entry itself. And if you have a positive drug screen, then the, you know, our position in the past has been, if you haven't satisfied the order as it is stated in that judgment entry.
So if someone on community control has one positive drug screen in the 5 years of community control, they can't ever get their record expunged?
Well, if the condition written into the sentencing entry specifically says no positive drug screens, then, I mean, that would be the same as performing a certain number of community service hours if those hours haven't been satisfied, as was the case in Ganey.
But the reality is, I mean, for anyone who's been a trial judge, there are few people that you put on community control that with a drug problem that don't have at least some positive drug screens at some point. And you think none of those people are ever eligible to have their conviction?
Well, again, if it's specifically written into the entry that way, in my experience, very few entries actually read that way, at least here in Franklin County. But if there is a condition.
You'd have language in there that you're on community control, you have to report to the probation department, and you have to obey all orders and you know, rules and directives from the probation department, which is maybe not spelled out that you've got to have clean testing for the duration. But if that's what the probation, that's your written instruction from the probation, isn't that the same thing?
Well, our default position is usually if there is a termination entry that says successfully terminated, that overrides everything else, you know.
Okay, your answer to Justice DeWine, it depends on what the judge determines is successful completion. It's not a black or white or yes or no. If you've had dirty urines or if you didn't show up to, you know, whatever your appointments were for 5 years, if the judge wants to forgive that and give you a discharge, you got a discharge.
Absolutely, yes. And if there is a successful discharge, I mean, the record.
But counselor, I mean, I don't think all judges, some judges just say community control is terminated. They don't say it's successful. They don't say it's unsuccessful. They just say your time's up, community control, terminating community control, right?
The entries that I've seen here in Franklin County, we have successful terminations. We have entries that say unsuccessful termination. And there are other entries just filed by the probation department sometimes that say they've completed the service of the term and are no longer on community control.
Right. So, so what do you do in that situation? There's no successful, there's no unsuccessful. How do you?
Our default position has always been it's successful unless it says otherwise. Now, if there's an unsuccessful termination, as was the case here, and there's no dispute that it was unsuccessful here, then, you know, our inquiry goes a little bit deeper. Okay, what was the reason for that? Is that spelled out in the judgment entry? Was this a violation of that? Is there a statement of violations? What does that say? Did, during a revocation hearing, did the applicant stipulate that they had violated? That's another consideration that comes in. So we look at these on a case-by-case basis. And our default position is to assume that they are eligible unless the record shows otherwise, or that they have a successful discharge, that is.
But you don't know what all the counties do in the state, correct?
No, I don't know what all the counties do. In Aguirre, though, that's why the language in Aguirre is so important. This court provided a clear framework within which to judge whether an offender has received a final discharge. And the language, all sentencing requirements, is clear in its meaning, and it provides guidance for many situations that a trial court might encounter in the context of a record sealing application. And the General Assembly—
Counsel, yes. this payment of arrearages is a sentencing requirement in your mind, as opposed to, I think, a condition of probation, which is how I think Mr. Miller was making a distinction here.
Well, the arrearage is spelled out specifically, both in the sentencing entry, says, follow the orders of the domestic relations court as it relates to the order, and also pay the arrearage in the amount of $8,800 approximately. So both of those were spelled out in the entry as sentencing requirements. The General Assembly has amended 295332 now 22 times since 1983, when that phrase final discharge was first given meaning by the 8th District. And the statute has been amended 5 times since the decision in Aguirre. If the General Assembly wanted to change what the phrase final discharge means, or what effect that it has, it could have done so at any point from 1983 up until now. And the fact that it has not been changed, despite all these other changes occurring to the sealing statute, it shows exactly what the General Assembly's intent is as it relates to that final discharge language. PJF was not yet eligible, as the law in effect at the time applied to this application, wasn't eligible to seal the record. The 10th District properly reversed the trial court. And if this matter is addressed on the merits, I would request that this court affirm the 10th District. Thank you.
Thank you. Counselor, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
Thank you. In that minute, I would note, yes, Mr. Walton is correct. We just discovered the law where the waiting period for felonies of the fourth and fifth degree has changed from 3 years to 1 year. That law was passed April 12th of this year. That's great for lots of people. We are asking this court, however, to decide the case on the merits, because at the time the child support was deviated to zero, that came after the sealing of the record hearing. The 10th District took judicial notice of that, but it said that zero deviation does not affect the appeal. So
if I go through the record and I find out that this arrears was actually reduced to a lump sum judgment subject to another court order prior to this, does that make a difference? If it's already subject to a final judgment as a lump sum arrears, does it make a difference?
I would say I don't think so, Judge Justice, because the reason is, in our position is, the $8,800, whether it be a lump sum or outstanding arrears, again, was specifically made part of his community control. So that number was testified, I think, at trial and presented by the Child Support Enforcement Agency. So all I can say is I don't believe it would make a difference. For all those reasons, we are asking this court to reverse the 10th District and reinstate the trial court sealing of the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marcia, we call a 10-minute recess.